This is the Day Zero Update for February 19th, 2017. I'm Filippo DeNolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Dan Repictorio.
And we've got a week of fighting and RPGs, it seems like.
Yep.
It's like all of the fighting game and all of the RPG news seems to have come out like now. So,
yep.
Hey, I'm not complaining.
It's weeks like this that remind me why I do this show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got some Falcom news, we got some Square Enix news, some interesting Nintendo news, but yeah, before we get to any of all that, we should probably talk a little bit about what we were doing this week, because I'm pretty sure it's been eventful for most people.
Mm-hmm.
Me, it was, I installed Halo 5 last night. That's about all, that's as far as, as I got.
Well, that's kind of an evening-dominating activity right in itself.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's like a 100 gig game, and like only like 50 of it is on disk. So, yeah. So I did that. How about you guys?
I'm more or less back to old habits. As stated at the top of the show about the fighters and RPGs, getting back into Heaven's Ward here pretty soon. Got to gear up some more. Getting back into King of Fighters, just so much going on with that game that I'm really excited to see how the next few months play out. Other than that, I'm just kind of unwinding, really.
Yeah.
But
hey.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm still going through the campaign of Titanfall 2. I think I'm about midway through that. And as I said before, I'm actually kind of glad that I got this because the campaign is really good.
Hmm.
I mean, granted, you know, if they had given us a campaign period, no matter what the quality was, it still would have been more than we got with its predecessor, but they actually went all in for this one.
Yeah.
And actually very smartly written.
Hmm.
And it's just a shame that it got kind of swallowed up with all the other releases that came out that month.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so I've got that. Also going through The Witcher 3. It's Witcher 3, so you know what that entails.
Yep. Sex and violence.
You know, putting your sword through the heads of monsters and sex with random prostitutes.
That's pretty much how that goes.
Yep. And I'm also, of course, I'm still doing Shin Megami Tensei 4. Still weird, still hard as all hell. And
that's why we love it.
That's why we love it.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing. What about you, Chris?
I'm continuing on with Hitman.
Mm-hmm.
I was messing around in one of the side missions in Sapienza called The Icon, which is sort of a pseudo Iron Man movie being made.
Mm-hmm.
By Hack director, who's been sort of stalling it for years.
Yeah.
And so I was looking around doing challenges, and towards the end of my session, I decided I'm just going to start killing all the cops. And so I go up the bell tower, and essentially they're coming up one by one, like every 30 seconds or minute or so. And so I'm able to just sit around the corner because you have like little hitman vision, lets you see the outlines. It's like, okay, there's one coming up. Just aim right at the door. Here he is, pop, 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 dead. And I get bored of this because there's like 10 of them there. I start throwing them over the railings. Like, oh, body found. Body found. Okay. They're finding them. And so I decided to get in a cop's outfit and evade all this attention and realize there's no more cops. They're all dead.
They're all dead. See. So who's after you then? There's nobody.
After that, I tried to knock out the main dude that I'm supposed to kill and try and see if... see what would happen. Nothing happens. None of the people can actually wake him up because that's what cops do. So he's permanently knocked out. I'm like, well, nothing else can really happen here.
Yeah.
So I just start knifing everybody.
That dude probably needs medical attention.
Just like stabbing everybody. It's all like, compromised witness. Like, they're all compromised. They can't do anything. They can't leave the map. It's either death or... And so when I killed them all, I'm like, well, I got to do something fun with all these people. I'm in the process of moving all to one central area, throwing some propane tanks and such, and seeing if I can just cause one big explosion. And while I was in the middle of that...
There's a crime comedy movie in here somewhere.
Yeah,
there really is.
And while I was in the middle of that, the game crashed. And I was like, well, as good a good time to take a break as any. Yeah. The other thing I've been playing is Mass Effect 3. With Andromeda coming up in about a month, I wanted to get back into this and saw that my save was about 2 hours in.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the Citadel, like trying to figure out what the hell was going on before I got to this. And it's like, oh yeah, there's the Reaper stuff, and I'm in the process of building back up the crew for the third time in 3 games.
Mm.
You can never keep his crew around. Mm-hmm. And so then I get to the ship, and I spend time on the ship, like looking at all the nooks and crannies, find all these model ships they hit around the place that go back up into the captain's quarters and all that. And the one quest that involved me getting these like Reaper artifacts in this lab, and that's kind of a thing where you just kill them until the guy comes for extraction.
Mm.
And that's about it. So I'm just dipping my toes back into that before I try and beat that in the next month.
Yeah.
So far it's so good, but it's it still feels like a relic now, as I've played plenty of third person shooters and RPGs since then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just feels so ancient, like the whole thing where you have to kind of aim the cursor directly at the thing you're supposed to interact with to actually get it to allow you to do that. That's kind of an old thing.
Yeah.
You actually have to point the thing that you want to interact with. How droll.
Yeah. The other thing I've been playing is Psychonauts at the Rhombus of Ruin, which is the upcoming PSVR edition that bridges the first and the second games. I can't really say much more about it because it's embargoed, but yeah, should be having a video out on Tuesday, and hopefully if I get enough time to play it, a review around then as well.
Cool.
And that's kind of what you expect from what happens when you give Tim Schafer and the other Psychonauts people a little PlayStation VR to play around with. Mm.
Strange things happen.
Yep. Mm. Strange, silly things.
Mm.
And, yeah, that's been largely it. So, how about you, Dan Reb?
For me, it's primarily been For Honor. I got the game on Tuesday, and yesterday I just finished the campaign. So, yeah, it was pretty solid. The campaign has 3 chapters, each with 6 little mini-sections where you have to go through them. And they're organized by their... the type of user you use. So the first chapter is knights, the second chapter is Vikings, and the third chapter is samurai.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they each get much more difficult as you go on. So the last chapter was the samurai, and I probably died like countless times there, mainly because once you get to that point, it's no longer a tutorial. So hopefully after chapters 1 and 2, you already know what you're doing. You know how to block, you know how to parry, you know how to use your special moves. And that's where some shit can hit the fan, because, you know, For Honor's not, or the single player is not only about combat, but, you know, being the completionist that I am, I also want to do some of the extra stuff. So you have to find these pods that you have to break. Most levels have like 5 or so. You also have to look for these, they call them viewables, in which you just press L1 on a certain artifact or whatever they are, and you learn more about the game's lore.
Hmm.
And those are extremely hard to find, because the only indicator you have is some sort of shiny little sparkle. You know, typical last generation stuff where your only interactable is like something that's shiny, and they're hard to find in the game. But yeah, so there really wasn't a whole lot of variety with the single player until you reach the samurai stuff, because that's where the story really comes full circle. And it was pretty cool because you get to infiltrate a samurai base using a rival samurai clan. And you get to do things like break paper walls. You get to go to a training school where you see, like, I guess 16 or so samurai training. And, you know, ideally you want to be a ninja and just sneak your way through. I wanted to be a badass and just roll through the academy and see if they all would fight me. And lo and behold, they did. They kicked my ass. I died there, and I was like, cool, no regrets. So I got through that part, and there was another scene where there was an elephant, where they trained with an elephant, and the elephant's primarily there as a tool to help you open a door. So you have to emote by pressing triangle, and then the elephant will charge at you. If he gets you, you die. If not, then, you know, maybe you can open the door. Maybe. And then I got to the final boss, which is a knight, and she was extremely difficult. I died like probably 20 times on normal mode, because you have to really combine your skills of shielding the right place as well as rolling around. And she has a lot of what's called revenge, where if you block enough shots, you have the opportunity to pretty much double your power. And yeah, it just got crazy, but I was able to succeed there. So now I'm just enjoying the multiplayer, which I already talked about for the beta. It's largely unchanged. The only thing I really don't like with this game are the menus, because I still have no idea where anything is. Yeah, so that'll pretty much be what decides whether this will be a 3 or 4 star game. So yeah, I'm also playing Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 4 Road to Boruto,
which is the longest title ever.
Yeah. What I didn't realize was that, well, first I should tell the story of why I got this game. A few weeks ago, Best Buy was running a promotion where if you buy one anime game, you get another anime game half off. And on top of that, the 20% off GCU stacked.
Nice.
So I went with Tales of Berseria. Not really for me, but for my brother who's like played through them all. And honestly, that game looks like it's worth getting back into Tales again, because it seems to have a much darker feel. I don't know much about it. I'll start it sometime. I don't know when. And then I chose the Naruto game out of – there was Attack on Titan. There was Sword Art Online. And yeah, I wasn't really feeling the trailers for the Attack on Titan game, and Sword Art Online I've never watched, so I can't say much about it. So I went with Naruto primarily because it was something I was really, really into when I was starting college. And then for some reason, 5 years ago, I stopped reading and watching. I don't know if you guys are into Naruto lore, but I stopped in the middle of Shippuden when Kabuto revived the Seven Swordsmen of the Mist in the Fourth Ninja War. That's where I stopped. I don't know why. I never had time to go back. So the game starts pretty much around after the Ninja War, and yeah, this is probably the most effective way for me to get back into the series, as it's actually really well told in the game. And yeah, it's pretty good so far. It's just typical Ultimate Ninja Storm gameplay, which I'm not really a fan of, but you know, it's solid. There's also a Road to Boruto. It's not really DLC. It's built into the game. So I guess what happened was this game is actually the same thing as what was released last year with the Road to Boruto quest thrown onto it. Yeah, so that should be interesting when I get there. I'm also still playing Fire Emblem Heroes. Reviews also from Smash Pad. Apparently, I guess I've been playing it wrong, because a lot of people, my brother mainly, that from what I've seen, just uses the same party and just plows through the game, whereas I've been pretty much raising every unit equally, as if they were Pokemon. Yeah. And I was like, a lot of these guys aren't good, even though they're level 19. I should probably just focus on the stronger guys. So, yeah, that's been that. And then I've also sort of got back into Pokemon Go, primarily because of their new update in which they've included the other 80 Pokemon from Generation 2. So it adds a little bit more gameplay there. There's some new items. The UI has been changed up a little bit. I don't see it, you know, reviving it to what it was a few months ago, but...
they needed to do this a lot sooner.
Yeah, they had to do it a lot sooner. I mean, from my perspective, I'm not a, like... I really stopped paying attention as to who they were after Generation 3, though I've enjoyed every game. But, you know, yeah, it is something that it needed, and hopefully it gives it the kick in the pants that we all wanted. So, yeah, that's been my week.
Cool. So, yeah, a lot of stuff going on for all of us. Then, so. All right, so let's keep going with the show proper. And we'll start off with the Humble Freedom Bundle, which is probably the biggest bundle that the Humble Store guys have ever done.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it's enormous. Well, they've raised $6 million for the ACLU, IRC, and the National Science Foundation. Yeah, that's a lot of money. I think that's the most that any Humble Bundle has ever made.
Mm.
And wow. It's done in protest. So, yeah, that should probably be indicative of something.
Yep. Yeah, it probably helps that like the base value is $30 versus the other most of the other bundles where you can put a dollar in if you want.
Yeah,
and get the whatever base package it offers.
Yeah, but from what I can see on this page, this one isn't tiered.
It's not.
No, it's $30. You just get everything. So yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's got to be like 60-70 games in here.
Yeah. So that's quite a good value for $30 if you want to jump in on that.
70 games, and that includes The Witness, Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Witness alone is
$40. Some of them
don't
seem to be games too.
Some of them are books. Yep. Yeah. So yeah, if you want in on that, if you're listening to this on Sunday, you've got a day left to get in on this. So
yeah, I think 2 PM Eastern time tomorrow, Monday.
Yeah. So, yeah, if this interests you, and if you want to support the ACLU, IRC, or the National Science Foundation, go ahead and pick up a massive bundle of games and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Man, it's so tempting.
It really is, even though I'm broke.
I'm going to Vegas next weekend, so I shouldn't spend, but this is 60 games or 70 games, man.
I know. It's like, really?
And now I got to go through the problem of looking through my Steam library, which of these are not on that list and which I'm going to redeem.
Yeah.
Because it's not, even though you can tie it to Steam, it'll kind of tell you.
Yeah.
Some of them are still off. So it's like, no, I own that. And I go look in Steam. It's like, yeah, right. I'm not going to redeem it again, you stupid API.
Well, if you can't redeem it, it just spits out a code that you can give out. So there's at least that. So
Twitter contest.
Yeah. So there's that. Anyways, what else we got here? Oh yeah. And the Crash Bandicoot: The Insane Trilogy has a release date. June 30th.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of course, for PS4, that should kind of go without saying.
Yeah. So this is basically a total remake of the original. The first three Crash Bandicoot games.
Yeah, they basically just have the level geometry. I don't think they have any of the old code.
Yeah.
Or music or any of that stuff. So they're kind of remaking all of that stuff by hand.
Hmm. Yep.
So, but from what we're seeing so far, it looks very faithful, just a lot sharper looking. So, I can't complain.
It looks like everything that any Crash Bandicoot fan wanted. For a remake.
That's totally what I want. So yeah,
you unlike Final Fantasy VII, god damn it.
Yeah. We'll eventually get onto that when we actually get to play it. But yeah, until then,
when we get to see more. Go ahead.
I said I definitely recommend listening to Game Informer. They did an interview with some of the people that were working on this, and they sort of go through all of the work they're going through with this, which is a really good interview.
Yeah, this is one of those collections that you can't really call an HD remaster because they're not really using the original code in any way. They're just it's basically a do-over, as you said. So
Who's developing this game? The Naughty Dog?
Vicarious Visions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who made a bunch of the Crash Bandicoot games when it was no longer Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
So
they've had experience. So, yeah, good stuff. Anybody buying these? Well, it's one pack. I know that it's going to end up on my PS4. There's just no question about that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm probably going to get it at some point, too.
It's a Friday release, too, so it'll be paid right away.
Yeah. It'll be a nice post-E3 game to get.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. We'll definitely have a review of it then, because it looks like we're going to have pretty much everybody buying it. So,
yep.
Yeah. So, in other PlayStation news, PlayStation Now is slimming down device support. It's dropping back just to PS4 and PC.
Yeah, the thing they mentioned in this article is, after thoughtful consideration, we decided to shift our focus and resources to PS4 and Windows PC to further develop and improve the user experience on these two devices. This move puts us in the best position to grow the service even further. So it seems like they have plans that maybe stretch out beyond what PS3, Vita, the various TV and Blu-ray and other devices they support. And I heard some people suggesting it might be better encoding for like H.265, which the PS3 and Vita might not be able to support so well.
Yeah, PS3 and Vita can't do it at all.
Yeah.
PS4 would be a stretch. Not that much CPU horsepower. H.265 decoding is actually pretty intensive.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll see.
Though it's also a cloud service, so not doesn't necessarily have to be able to decipher it itself.
No,
kind of has to just get the stream and be able to respond.
Have to render that video on the client side. So, but yeah,
have any of you actually used the service?
I have. Yep. I did a free trial and then decided I didn't get for it, which is probably how a lot of people went.
I used it for about 3 months, and it's pretty good for what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the latency is actually surprisingly good. They've got a good system there. It's just, why would I pay, $30 for Dirt 3 when I've got it already as a PS
Plus? Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, there's some publishers doing just stupid pricing. Like, all the Telltale stuff is like $5 an episode.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Instead of just buying it on the platform.
Pay for it. Yeah.
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 So it's like, I never cared for the service. I probably would care more if they had PS1 games on it, but then again, I probably still wouldn't care. So,
Why PS4 doesn't have that PS1 stuff. Is just beyond
ridiculous.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder if they are going to be doing more PS3 or PS1, PS2, maybe Vita and PSP stuff on there.
I hope so.
I mean, they all have the same control scheme.
Yeah. It's not like it's going to be too difficult for them to do. Well, apart from the Vita games that have touch support, but
It kind of makes me wish we knew what their plans were so they could make it easier to understand why they're getting rid of these other platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing they probably looked at their user base, and the most viable ones were probably just on PS4 and PC. So, if you've got 90% of your users on those two platforms and, the rest of them are spread out among that other 10%, it doesn't really make much sense to keep supporting those.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, we shall wait and see, I suppose. And I'm pretty sure we're going to hear more about this at E3 and all kinds of good stuff. I can't believe we're already talking about E3.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, seriously.
Well, it's coming to us.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Seeking out that news. It's just stabbing us in the face over and over again.
Yeah. So what else we got here? Okay. We know Federator, Adventure Time, Bravest Warrior, that new Castlevania series that's coming to Netflix. Well, apparently they got another project in the form of a costume quest.
Yep.
It's going to be an Amazon Prime series, which is a little weird, but okay. So this is the thing that's happening this year, apparently.
Yeah, I guess one of the executive press producers is Will McRobb of The Adventures of Pete and Pete fame.
Yeah.
So along with Federator's Studios people as well.
Yeah.
I didn't know that show had fame.
Yeah. Sorry, 2018. Yeah. Don't email us. Sometimes I misread things. Words are hard, you know? Yeah. So in some, I don't know if I would call this shocking news, but apparently those leaked Switch videos were taken from stolen Switches.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's not surprising in the least.
Nope. Not really surprising at all.
Water is wet.
But it doesn't change the fact that the Switch actually does kind of look cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this will actually work out better for Nintendo in the end, because at least people are starting to see the stuff that, well, Nintendo hasn't been willing to show anybody.
Yeah, so there's no, you know, unfortunate surprises day one.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will at least see all the stuff that's leaking is actually pretty good for Nintendo. Granted, it took them a couple generations to put this stuff in, but hey, better late than never.
Yeah, I mean, account-based purchases. Imagine that, you know.
Yeah, this shouldn't be news,
but
Nintendo,
it is.
So.
Yeah.
But because Nintendo, it's news.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just nice at least that Nintendo has figured out how the internet works, so, or at mm-hmm. least they're trying to get to grips with it.
Mm-hmm. So you figure we thank DNA for that?
Oh, that's definitely a DNA thing.
Oh, yeah.
DNA. I'm sure Nintendo still doesn't know about it.
Yeah. I'm sure if they
get
console.
Fire Emblem Heroes uses fucking friend codes. I don't know who told them to do that, but.
No, that was probably yeah. Nintendo Corporate, because you could bet DNA wouldn't have wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when you can use, you know, Game Center or, well, Google Play services for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's really yeah. unnecessary.
Funny thing is, you get greeted by Game Center when you open the app. I'm like, what the fuck? And there's codes.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of a kludge, but hey, it works, I guess. So what do we got here? Okay, Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild, Switch launch title. Launch title. We'll be getting a $20 season pass, which is basically going to be expansions to the game.
Yeah,
because that's how Nintendo does their DLC. They just kind of make more good stuff.
Yeah, they're going to get their first expansion of a Zelda game in the holiday.
Yeah.
Which seems like it's going to be pretty cool to see what they do.
Yeah.
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 I mean, hey, if it's at least one thing you got to give Nintendo is they usually try to make the DLC worth it.
Yeah. Yes.
And they do
Mario
it.
Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, though, what you get.
With the Mario Kart DLC.
Yeah.
Yeah, though, what you get. Like, right away on this is not great. you get, like, treasure chest that has a shirt with the Nintendo Switch logo on it that Link can wear. It's like,
really?
Well, it can't be any worse than, you know...
We're going to integrate our own product placement into our own fucking game.
Yeah.
Because they have this in the console already. Jesus Christ.
I mean, it can't be any worse than what, you know, they did to Noctis in Final Fantasy 15, where they gave him that cup noodle hat.
Yeah.
Did you have to pay for that?
Well,
that
at least that was, you know, like, somebody else entirely. It's like Nintendo's forcing their own revenue into their own revenue. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. I would have just called this an expansion pass and just, you know, limited it to the DLC stuff and not really worried about trying to do product placement and stuff. And just.
But they had to have something ready for day one.
Yeah. Because of that revenue, but, you know,
meme culture says... are going to get a lot of stupid shit.
Yeah. Well, it's that whole pre-order thing, right? I mean, you get that, and you pre-order the season pass with it, but I think it would probably behoove Nintendo a little more to just actually, like, put this stuff out as it's coming out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that probably would help their revenue a bit more and spread it out a bit, but, you know.
Yeah.
What do I know? It's like, I'm
personally,
just a guy.
Personally, I don't mind the DLC at all. Yeah. Just from my perspective, I am a little bit irked. I mean, I kind of wish that there was a code with the more premium edition games that are being released.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, Nintendo hasn't really failed with DLC. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I just wish, you know, the more expensive versions of the game I got had more in them. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're paying $100 or more for a game, you should get a pass for all the DLC.
Yeah.
Within reason, at least. Yeah, like one of the things they're adding is like a hard mode.
Hmm.
So you got to pay for the hard mode. That's weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's something they should really charge for.
The other weird thing with that was with, I think it was Twilight Princess HD. If you use the Ganondorf amiibo, it automatically made it even harder. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, we'll keep an eye on this one. I'm sure the actual content will probably be worth playing, so.
People that are mad about.
Well, isn't there a second quest in there?
Think so.
Isn't that the holiday expansion?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's the expansion.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, so, it prolongs the longevity of the game, and it's good because, you know, they took so long to make it, they might as well leave some guys on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, speaking of the 3DS Zeldas, it looks like there's an actual possibility that these two teams are working on a 2D. Version of Zelda for the Switch.
Fucking bring it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, take our money. I don't own a Switch yet, but I'd buy this just for the hell of it.
By the time it comes out, you probably will.
Yeah. This is probably a second or third year Switch title, more than likely.
Yeah.
Breath of the Wilds probably have a good long tail on it. So, yeah.
Well, the DLC is going to make sure of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What do you want from a 2D Switch Zelda?
If it's a Link Between Worlds, but in a completely new setting, I'm in.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Just don't recycle that world again. Give me the same gameplay, but give me a new setting.
Yeah.
And new things to do.
Hmm.
Yeah, just evolve it in sort of the way that they evolved from, you know, a Link Between Worlds to Breath of the Wild, sort of rethinking Zelda, sort of just do that from Link Between Worlds to whatever sort of successor there is to that one.
I don't even need that.
New area.
I would be fine if it was like the complete formulaic, go through a small batch of dungeons, then go through a larger batch of dungeons, and, you know, just like the first, you know, 25 some odd years of the franchise, I'd be completely okay with that.
Mm.
But I just really want to take that gameplay and put it in a new setting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what really made Link Between Worlds so great for me was the fact that it was non-linear in the sense that, you know, you can go to pretty much any dungeon you wanted as long as you had the right weapon. And by that time, you should have, because you could rent them all. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a great system.
Keep an eye out on that. It's promising news for the Switch, really, if they're thinking ahead that far.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just wondering.
If they want to use graphics from A Link to the Past, by all means, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'll be completely honest. Something I really want to see more in the Zelda games, and I'm not completely sure. We might get more of this in Breath of the Wild. I want to see more of that sort of that pre-Hyrule civilization that was like super duper high tech before, you know, that we saw in Skyward Sword.
That would be a great setting for 2D.
Yeah, that was an awesome dungeon. I remember that.
Hmm.
It's
kind of the opposite of what I was thinking, but I like it.
Hmm.
Yeah, but because, I mean, that there was, you know, we only saw a little bit, but it suggested so much.
Yeah.
Like, because I remember going through that whole area and thinking, you know, what is this place? What happened to all of this? You know, why did it go away?
Yeah.
You're talking about that pseudo-punk machinery place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was awesome.
The mines and the robots, for God's sake.
Yeah. All right. And moving on, it looks like Phil Spencer is committing to Holiday 2017 for Scorpio's launch.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I haven't done a console launch in a while, and I think maybe I might get in on this. The Pro didn't really kind of appeal to me that much. because it wasn't a huge upgrade. This is significant enough that it probably would be worth it.
Yes. But we still really don't even know how much of an upgrade it's going to be. They've just been fully signing like 6 teraflops. Silence.
Well, Digital Foundry has been filling in that gap. They've been putting out a whole lot of technical data on the Scorpio based on actual developer documents. So, yeah, there's it's going to be pretty significant.
So, I don't know. I'm still on the fence feeling burned that they canceled Scalebound. So I'm like, why the fuck do I have one of these again? All I play on this is Rare Replay. I play a system for N64 games on the Xbox One. I don't know.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it even speaks to their lineup for this year. In fact, we are more committed to delivering even more exclusive games for both Xbox One and Windows 10 this year.
Oh, my God.
Then we launched in 2016. I was very proud of our first-party lineup in 2016. I'm encouraged by an even bigger and more differentiated first-party lineup in 2017, starting with today's launch of Halo Wars 2.
Hmm. Yeah. Differentiated lineup, and you start with Halo. I don't think this word means what you think it does.
Halo Wars is not Halo, so...
Well, it's different. I'll give them that.
Well, technically, it's sort of how, you know, Halo was originally going to be when they were first developing it, but...
Yeah, details.
Yeah, some of the specific games they're mentioning here are State of Decay 2, Sea of Thieves, Crackdown 3...
Oh, that still exists.
Yeah, E3 2017.
Exists for now.
So they got stuff to talk about there. They also talk about Phantom Dust and Voodoo Vince, those remasters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all their differentiated first-party lineup is remasters and sequels and Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, well, that's what they're talking about right now. I mean,
yeah.
You know, at E3, they'll open the floodgates. I'm pretty sure we'll have Forza 7. We'll have whatever other... No, I don't think we'll have a new Gears game because that came out like last year, so it's probably a little soon
for
that.
That's overkill.
Yeah.
Yeah. No Halo, no Gears, but Forza 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also recently
announced out of those three, that's the one I'd take, so...
Yeah.
Which one?
Forza 7.
Forza.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm. But yeah, they also recently announced that the press conference is being moved to Sunday, the 11th.
Yeah.
And seeing as how E3 starts on Wednesday, the 14th, it must mean that there must be some stuff for the industry people during Monday through Tuesday, because it's really expensive to stay there the whole week.
Yeah.
So
that would make sense.
Yeah.
It gives a whole day to Sony and EA and Ubisoft.
Hmm.
Yep.
So. Nintendo does whatever the hell they're going to do probably Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think Nintendo will actually be at the show this year?
I think they have.
They'll be at the show, but they won't, you know, they won't have a conference. They'll have just their typical direct stuff.
Hmm.
Well, the direct stuff has been almost tantamount to a conference, almost.
Yeah.
Except I think they need to augment it by about 30 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
But once they're there, they're back.
Hmm. And I think for journalists, Nintendo Direct is actually probably more beneficial because they don't actually have to go anywhere to watch it.
Definitely. They don't have to worry about Reggie's body being ready.
Yeah.
They just got to get their cosplay skills and their Switch sound effect going nonstop.
Yeah.
I actually planned on being there from
shitty puns.
Tuesday to Friday, and I told my friend about Microsoft being moved to Sunday, and he was like, "What about Nintendo?" And I'm like, "What about Nintendo? Just stay at the Airbnb and just watch it on TV there."
Yeah. Nintendo's just going to say, fuck you guys, we're going to go Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although what I wouldn't mind at all is another World Championships, but we'll see.
That was actually kind of fun last year.
Yeah, no, it was 2 years ago. But that was when they showed the Mario. Was it 2 years ago or last year? I don't even remember. But like
2 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's already
last year was Zelda.
Yeah.
That was it, Zelda.
Yeah. See, it was 2 years ago, and then that's how they announced Mario Maker, and that was awesome the way they showed it off. So. Yeah.
We're still waiting on them to tell us what's going on with the eShop and the Switch. It's out in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah. Guys,
holy
really
shit.
Need to
we're gonna be back
people.
Here. We're gonna be back here in 2 weeks talking about the Switches we actually have.
Yeah, yep. In 2 weeks. Well, that you guys will have. I won't have one at that point, but hey. So, yeah.
Yeah, but you'll hear so much about it, it'll be like you have one. So
yeah.
That's a way.
Yeah. So. All right, so let's get to the fighting game block of the show, and we'll start off with the Injustice 2 lineup is fattening up quite nicely, it looks like.
Yep.
We got Black Canary, Catwoman, Cheetah, Poison Ivy, and who? Somebody else.
Swamp Thing.
And, oh yeah, the Swamp Thing.
So yeah, this is awesome. I gotta say, this is, it seems like, so everybody remembers a little while, I think it was maybe a couple months ago, that the there was a roster for Injustice 2 that was leaked.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like, from what we're seeing, it looks like that roster is pretty accurate.
Like 100% accurate, or?
Well, the thing is, you gotta remember, there's like gonna be like over 40 characters.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, is it? Have there been any surprises?
Nope, not so far.
Then it's probably ironclad.
Yeah, that's both good and bad. Good because that does in fact mean that Power Girl is going to be in it. Bad because that means that Power Girl is actually not going to be an actual character, but just a a physical upgrade for Supergirl.
Well,
but hey, I'll take it.
Something, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, obviously, I love the fact that they're adding other characters besides just Batman ones. Mm-hmm. Obviously, having Cheetah in there is important, considering she's basically Wonder Woman's archenemy.
Yeah.
And, of course, having Swamp Thing in there, period, is just a plus.
Yeah.
Because there's just a whole bunch of stuff that can go along with him.
Yeah.
I mean, freaking John Constantine was originally showed up in Swamp Thing. So.
Yeah.
And of course, Poison Ivy is there. And I gotta say is, all I'm gonna say is, it's gonna be interesting to see the banter between her and Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Isn't it always?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because, I don't know if anybody's been reading the comics lately, but that thing that was always being suggested, it's not a suggestion anymore.
Yeah. So.
I mean, in Harley's own book that Amanda Connor writes, she straight up, she and Poison Ivy straight up pick up a surfer dude from the beach and have a three-way, so. Yeah.
Yep, that's a thing that did happen. I'm gonna be honest, I'm looking forward to seeing Injustice 2 at Evo in particular, because it's gonna be a pretty fresh game at that point still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Basically all bets are gonna be off. We have no idea what we're gonna see.
So. And everyone getting added seems to be characters that are gonna be, like, I'm trying to figure out how these are all gonna work from a gameplay standpoint.
Hmm.
But Ed Boon is working on it, so he can be a pretty creative dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be a very interesting game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole lot of potential here, which they definitely need, because it looks like the DC movie universe is going to shit with every day that passes, while the TV universe is continuously getting more awesome. So the addition of Black Canary really spices things up. So from a marketing perspective, this has quite a bit of potential.
Yeah.
I also love the fact that they're specifically not sticking to the Batman Arkham games looks for a lot of these characters.
Yeah.
Ivy designed for this and Ivy's design for Arkham are completely different.
Yeah.
Harley looks
different.
The
entire concept for Injustice is that DC effectively let Ed Boon create his own version of the DC universe.
Yeah.
And
its own continuity.
Yeah.
And still get most of the original voice actors.
Yeah.
Yep.
How much do you want to bet that if Injustice 2 does really well for NetherRealm and DC, that it actually becomes a book series?
There already is an Injustice comic.
Hmm. Oh. Yeah, there was some weirdness around it. I think it was Lois Lane was pregnant and Superman killed her.
No. Well, he did accidentally because there
killed
was a
child at least.
Yeah, if you remember the remember in the beginning of Injustice in the story mode, you know, he talks about, you know, Joker, you drugged me. You made me. Yeah, he basically accidentally killed Lois.
Yeah.
In the vacuum of space.
That's hard to come back from.
Yeah, it kind of is.
For the record, Lois is still completely okay in the other universe. So,
yeah.
Oh, other universe, okay.
Yeah.
That's a DC way.
In the real universe, yeah. But the other one. Yeah. But not the real one.
Looks like I might be picking up a fighting game for a story mode.
Okay. Yeah. Seriously.
The original story mode for Injustice was really good.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was ridiculous, but.
It was awesome, but it was just way over the top.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I guess they got an announcement.
It was interesting because the entire concept was around. It was built around Joker wondering what would happen if Superman had one bad day, and you know the implications of that particular term, as it pertains to the Joker. And they just took that and ran with it and made Superman one of the best DC villains ever.
Yeah.
Basically, the Joker dies, and Superman becomes God Emperor.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And
also, I love the fact that they actually went the extra mile to try and somehow explain how all these characters can go up against and still beat Superman.
Yeah.
You know, like it was that, you know, those kryptonite pill thing, which is dumb, but you know, at least it's
it's something.
Yeah, I mean, his one weakness is just end all, so...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah.
Looks like they still got a bunch of characters to announce. I think
they still got a good 20 of them.
Yeah.
Now, what's the... Brandon, if you can pull that up, what's the leaked roster look like?
Hold on. I'm trying to find it right now. But let's see.
I'm just curious. If this is looking ironclad, I want to see where... they're going with it.
Okay, so it looks like this, it was originally back in January. It was on 4chan. So included in there includes two Green Lanterns, first of all, so both Hal Jordan and John Stewart.
Nice.
Okay.
Mr. Freeze is going to be there. Scarecrow. And like I mentioned before, Power Girl.
Yeah.
Let's see. And let's see if that was from another. I'm trying to see, trying to find the complete, if they got the complete roster on there. I know that Batgirl is going to be in there. And damn it, Google is not making this easy.
Does it ever?
No, not really.
All right, hold on. But, and of course, some of the others we already know, like Brainiac and Gorilla Grodd. Let's see, Dr. Fate is going to be in there. Let's see. Cyborg, which, I mean, he was already
in
there.
The first one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. We can always just, edit all this dead air.
Yeah.
Well, dead air's the easiest thing to spot when you're editing.
All right, let's see. Yeah, like I said, Google
Did
does not.
Should I just admit I do it to myself?
Well, look, you guys are lucky. Look, let me put it this way. You guys are at least lucky that I sound this good, that considering how unbelievably rambling I sound on Let's Weekend, you guys are lucky we've got an audio wizard like, you know, like Phil, because otherwise...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, let's see.
I like the catchphrases some of these people have on this site. Poison Ivy's
okay.
Like, no more friends,
okay.
All I have is the green.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. Okay, so this looks like this is give or take a few as it is now. So let's see. We know Joker, Bane, Poison Ivy, Swamp Thing already, Black Canary, Catwoman... Cyborg, Green Lantern, both of them. Firestorm.
Nice.
Yeah, everybody remembers Firestorm, right?
Right.
Let's see. Captain Cold. Wow, there's one I haven't heard in a long time.
See, yeah. Again, with the DC TV stuff happening, this really helps out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Zoom.
Another one. Wow.
Yeah. Let's see. And that's all I can see.
Okay.
I can find at the moment. And remember, that's still, like, let's see, one thing. That's still, like, only a little under 30 characters, so.
Yeah, there's at least 10 more.
There's still more coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I'll be really honest. I want to, as well as Power Girl, I really want to see more Teen Titans. You know, I want to see Starfire.
I agree.
Beast Boy.
Oh, he'd be a fun one from a gameplay mechanic standpoint.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the animality jokes they could make with him.
Yes.
Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ra's al Ghul would be good. Trying to think. The thing is we've got enough Batman characters as it is. We don't need any more. I mean, the Batman Rogues Gallery is amazing, but you only need a handful of them at any given time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I want more Teen Titans, and I would probably like folks, some of the people from the Justice Society. I already talked about Power Girl. I'd love to see the original Flash. Barry Allen.
Yeah.
I'd love to see. I'd love to see the original Green Lantern, but we already know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
Watchmen.
They could totally do that if they wanted to, but DC kind of keeps the Watchmen in their own little world, so.
That doesn't mean Ed Boon would.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't mean Ed Boon would, but Ed Boon seems to be pretty fairly strict on canon. So,
yeah.
You know, the only way that would happen is if they pulled like they did with a Scorpion.
Hmm.
Granted, he wasn't the actual Scorpion, but
yeah,
you get the idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the official site shows about 20 more people to be announced. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more. I wouldn't mind seeing. We've already seen both Green Lantern and we're seeing a Red Lantern carrier. Hmm. So nice. I'd like to see more Lantern Corps people.
Oh yeah, hmm.
Yeah. Atrocitus is on here.
Yeah, get one of the Star Sapphires like Fatality.
Hmm.
I mean, it's even in the freaking name. Yeah. Go ahead, it's Netherrealm, dude. Take it.
Yeah, it totally fits.
Yeah, I mean, the joke writes itself.
Yep.
How do you think they got the name?
So, moving on to more fighting game news. King of Fighters 14 looks like there's a wave of content going to be coming. Apparently, at least 4 more characters.
Mm-hmm. Yep, free stages for everybody. New costumes got revealed, including Classic Iori, which will be on the 28th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the presentation, they showed 4 silhouettes that almost looked like 3, but there were just too many legs.
Mm-hmm.
The obvious one is off to the right. It's Ryuji Yamazaki.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell just because he's kind of hunched down in that whole I'm about to serpent slash your shit pose.
Yeah.
Kneeling down on the left side of the silhouettes, it looks like Whip. I don't know who else it would be.
Hmm.
Standing up next to her looks like Blue Mary wearing her jacket.
Hmm.
And then the fourth character is kind of hard to pin down because you can really only kind of make out the legs and only then kind of.
Hmm.
But it's that kind of staggered pose. Could be Shingo Yabuki. It could be, Ash. I've seen drawn like that sometimes. Could be Shen Wu, which would make sense from a story standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So, be really interesting to see who that turns out to be. But I think out of the four of them, Yamazaki and Whip are the absolute locks. I just can't imagine who else they would be.
Yeah.
Obviously the silhouettes are there in the link.
Yeah. Any details on pricing? Not yet.
Nope. Be really interesting to see how that breaks down, though.
Imagine if it's just they just show up.
That would be awesome. And I said to watch for more news on the DLC characters next month.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then one of the best crowd reactions, because this took place at King of Fighters World Championships. One of the best reactions on the video was when they showed the Meitenkun Pajamas DLC, which is probably the most obvious one they could have gone for with him. But the fans cheered it, because the character himself is just always overly fatigued and about to pass out at the slightest thing. So it was funny.
Nice to see SNK still, you know, plugging away at it.
Pretty sure I know what King of Dinosaurs is going to get when they get around to his DLC too. It's going to be Tizzle.
All right, so that's KOF, and now we got two blocks of RPG news. You want to do Final Fantasy 14, or you want to do Nyssa first?
No, let's do Nyssa.
Okay, so yeah, they had a press event.
A lot of handheld stuff, Coldcept Revolt, RPG Maker Fest, which will be really interesting to see how they make this work on 3DS, because the... obviously, we've had console and handheld RPG makers before, but with more people getting into it with things like VX Ace and the current one, MV, you know, there's this whole appeal of making your custom RPGs and getting them out there to the world, sharing them, sometimes even on Steam. You've got entire publishers that have emerged built upon RPG Maker, and I don't know how they're going to make that work for the 3DS as far as the possibility of exporting games, but if they don't do it, you're essentially undercutting the entire point of RPG Maker.
With the announcement, they announced the RPG Maker Player, which is a free app that you can download to actually play those RPGs that other people have made, so hopefully it's pretty easy, not just like friend code shit.
I hope so. It's this is not a thing that they could afford to do wrong.
So we'll keep an eye.
There's Danganronpa V3 for the Vita coming, also for the PS4. I think we've known about that one for some time, but now it's got a release date of September 26th. Disgaea 5 Complete, which the Nintendo audience probably isn't ready for this, but it's good to see that the RPG support on this system continues.
Yeah, the Switch has its 1 May release.
Yeah, that we know of.
Yeah.
Then the Silver Case, which apparently is not leaving Japan.
It is.
Oh.
What it was originally state? Japan exclusive on the PS4.
Okay.
They're localizing it, adding 2 new chapters.
Cool.
One that takes place afterwards, and one that's sort of a prologue to the episodic sequel he made.
Cool.
Add 2 new tracks, 12 remixes by Akira Yamaoka.
Nice. Then the real surprise of the event was the reveal that in fall this year, NIS America will be bringing us Ys 8.
Yep.
Lacrimosa of Dana.
Yep.
Which I looked it up. It's Lacrimosa is means a weeping.
Yeah.
So.
But it's a surprise that anyone not named Exceed is bringing an Ys title over in this day and age.
Huge.
Yeah.
First of all, Ys 8.
First of all, just real quick. East 8 looks great.
Yes,
it does.
I want to play
this
it.
Game in my life.
Yes, it looks awesome. I want to play it. But yeah, as you were saying, the fact that this isn't Exceed bringing it over.
Well, Tom Lipschultz over at Exceed swears there's nothing really. There's no rift between them and Falcom.
Hmm.
But I just can't help feeling like something's going on. Axis got Tokyo Xanadu, and now that's coming over here from them. Do we start to brace ourselves for a possibility of Trails to Zero or Trails of Azure getting, maybe Gaijin Works, maybe Nisa, maybe Axis?
I think it's a possibility.
It's possible. I mean, I'll be honest. Part of this might just be the fact that, Exceed is just one company.
Yeah.
They can only
huge backlog right now.
They're one company, but they're also for a time it looked, even just a year ago, it looked like they were essentially becoming Falcom's Western branch.
Yeah, but I think maybe the folks at Falcom have we want to get more of our games over to the West so that people can buy them, to get a better market there. And, it might be, maybe they just decided it'd be better if they kind of branched out.
If they let more publishers at it, then those games in the backlog can get here faster because multiple publishers are handling them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
It makes sense on a timetable perspective, but not divvying it up by franchise just seems kind of jarring.
Well, yeah, I'll worry if we see any of the Trails games published by another company, then I'll start to worry. But for now, I'm not really too bothered by it.
Yeah,
yeah. As long as we don't see Namco Bandai on here, we're okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
What they did to the Gagarv trilogy is fucking criminal.
Yeah. Keep them as far away as possible.
It's true.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure Nisa had a bigger wallet than XC did in this case.
Probably. Yeah.
That's also possible.
So that's Nisa.
Hate to see it go down like that if that's what happened, though.
But we also had German FanFest for Final Fantasy XIV.
Yes, we did. As expected, there was another huge info dump for Stormblood. I actually had to provide two links in the show notes just because there was so much to cover.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I want to bring up is that expanded trailer.
Oh, that looked good.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't show anything as far as gameplay goes, but, it's an MMO. You kind of know what the gameplay is going to be like.
Yeah,
this is more setting up the world you're going to be jumping into, and there's some crap going down in there.
Yeah, they're expanding the world map almost by double from the looks of it. When you factor in Alamigo as well as Doma and Higashi, that's a lot of ground.
Yeah,
and it'll be interesting to see how they introduce Doma and introduce traveling to and from it. Or really anywhere on Authard, which is the new continent outside of Eorzea, where you'll find Doma and Higashi. Because these are not neighboring countries. This is, I would say, probably about a third of the way around the world map if we had a world map to go on.
Mm-hmm.
You're skipping over a lot of ground going from Alamigo to Doma, but it's a sudden and very impressive testament to how vast this world is going to be when, maybe two or three expansions down the road when we're filling in more of those places.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
They just keep surprising me with just the amount of stuff that they just cram into this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's not just slapdash either. It's very well crafted, very well thought out. Everything fits into place nicely. It's like somebody actually cares,
They've been building to Alamigo in particular, since version 1, the shitty version of this game that they killed off.
Yeah.
They've been building up to the liberation of Alamigo since then.
Hmm.
And so we've been probably a good 5 years now that the story's been building to this.
Hmm.
And then you add Doma in, which is a much more recent addition to the game in the lore. It originates from Final Fantasy VI, which makes sense because the Garlean Empire is more or less based on, at least in part, that the Empire is depicted in Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah.
But this also seems to be very in line with that Doma. At the press Q&A, Naoki Yoshida was asked about just how much of the game is going to take place in Alamigo as compared to Doma. And he said, well, you have to liberate Alamigo first. And he has plans for that would only be possible in an MMO.
Yeah.
In terms of how it's going to be executed. Which tells me that it's going to be another global event that takes place similarly to how the end of the world did in version 1, because even though version 1 was the previous teams, that entire event was overseen by Yoshida.
Hmm.
Not a lot of people know that. Hmm. And so if we're coming up on another global scale event where they're just going to where they're going to have the liberation of Alamigo and have as many players as possible participating in it, that's going to be incredible.
Mm-hmm. You see their like servers just melt down during that.
Oh,
way.
My God. sort of reenacting the Battle of Cardano or something. Because
yeah.
That's the battle that you see in that, that famous video that where they ended Final Fantasy XIV version 1.
Yeah.
That was the huge Dynasty Warriors looking battle that was taking place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if there's something like that that they're going to pull off for the liberation of Alamigo, then that's in and of itself going to be a major selling point for Stormblood.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely have to take part in that.
Yeah.
That's just one of those once-in-a-lifetime kind of experiences, just as a gamer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
just wanted to ask, if you were to go and buy Final Fantasy XIV now, for whatever particular console or whatever...
Do it for PS4, because I think their Final Fantasy sale is still going on right now, and you can get A Realm Reborn and Heaven's Ward together for $20.
Yeah. Do they offer, like, a 30-day trial or anything like that?
Your first
yeah,
month...
You get that with it.
Yeah, you get your first month free.
All right.
I'm not sure if there's a way to get started without actually buying anything. I think there might be a 14-day or a 30-day trial, but you'd have to go to FinalFantasy14.com
mm-hmm.
to find that out for sure. I've heard things about it. But, thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
But I would say now would be an almost ideal time to get in.
Yeah.
And let me know if you do. I'll introduce you to. I'll point you to my server and introduce you to my free company and everything. You'll get started right.
Yeah. All right.
Let's see. Second new job. I think everyone kind of saw this coming, but. With the addition of Doma as context, it makes more sense. We got Samurai coming.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a tank class. That was one of the first things that they wanted to be clear about. They're going for more of a post-Edo style Samurai, so you're not going to have the heavily armored Vanguard going out there. It is a DPS class.
Yeah.
The reason being, they want to kind of get the jobs balanced to proportional to the roles that they play in each party. And so they were kind of loath to add a new healer or tank class at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also the stylistic preference because... Are you okay, Danrib?
No, I'm good. I just watched the trailer, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is pretty awesome. I'm
yeah, this is the thing. Mm-hmm. Told you.
It's like visceral reactions. They're like, whoa.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit of fatigue on my part, too. But,
yeah.
And you can definitely tell the difference when Uematsu is there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really
yeah.
Glad.
He did the music for this trailer, and you know it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Makes it very,
I mean,
very
it, cool. It looks like it's a game that, you know, I'd have just as much fun watching as I would playing, so.
I should probably stream it more.
Yeah. To be true. You probably should.
But, yeah, so Samurai, like Red Mage before, it is going to be a DPS class, but it's definitely going to be rethinking the way you do your DPS, because there's going to be some sort of spiked damage output when you commit to a certain amount of... And this is just the way... This is what I gleaned from the way Yoshida was talking about it.
Hmm.
It sounds like Samurai are going to be able to enhance their damage output considerably while committing to animation lock.
Hmm.
So you have to make sure there are no AoEs coming. You have to make sure that the tank's doing his job and you're not going to pull hate off of him when you're sticking it to the enemy royally.
Yeah.
But between that mechanic for Samurai and the sort of going back and forth between close range and long range for Red Mage, these are very outside the box classes, and I'm looking forward to trying them out.
Yeah.
Yoshida confirmed more or less that Blitzball is on the way, but they want to make sure they do it right before they actually add it to the game. He doesn't believe that just straight up planning it in Final Fantasy XIV as it was in X would give it any legs.
No.
That's a hell of a challenge.
They ran into this with Triple Triad as well, but when they got Triple Triad working, it's now ubiquitous in Eorzea. Everyone fucking plays Triple Triad. Mm-hmm. They got that right in the end. I firmly believe they can do the same with Blitzball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're going to have like people putting together their weekend Blitzball teams to,
yeah.
to just dick around on that. But everyone kind of saw that coming when swimming was announced at the last Fan Fest.
Yeah.
Then just a couple of technical notes here. PS4 Pro functionality will focus on performance, not getting it up to 4K.
Mm-hmm. As it should.
It may or may not coincide with the 4.0 patch. The release of Stormblood and the discontinuation of PS3 support, but it shouldn't be far behind if it isn't right there.
Yeah.
They had announced PSVR support prior to this, but they're having trouble getting the game running to spec on PSVR. I can see the pro clearing that mess up too, to be fair.
Yeah, but I think they've got the issue where they don't want to do the PSVR support if they have to leave half the audience behind.
Yeah. The Yoshida made mention of making a possible spinoff just to get the PSVR presence going, called Mikote Paradise, where you pay $50 and just sit down and have some fun with some Mikote. I'm pretty sure he was being facetious or maybe cynical at worst based on some of the stuff that's been made for VR already. But it was totally worth it for Mr. Happy's reaction, who's a well-known Final Fantasy XIV YouTuber.
Yeah.
Who almost had a Lee moment when he got to that part of the interview. And I'm leaving the link there in the show notes. It was great.
Yeah, it's just the wording of that last sentence that just It's very well worth watching that sentence, well, that that little video for his reaction, because wow.
Like, he almost went full Lee there. It was fantastic.
It's like, it's like, you don't just drop that at the end of the video, at the end of an interview and leave.
Which is exactly what he did.
Just, like, we're gonna make a porn room. Bye.
Yeah.
I can see there being some measure of cynicism about current VR practices, just since the medium as a mass market thing is still in its infancy, and of course Rule 34 is in full effect.
Yeah.
I'm not taking it at face value at all.
No, can't really take it at face value, because, you know, you have to deal with Sony. I don't think they'd let that kind of thing on their platform.
No.
So.
Dead or Alive Extreme 3 is close.
Yeah, that is a PS4 game.
Yeah.
When you no longer have limitations on the camera, you can do things.
Mm.
There's plenty of evidence on Twitter of that.
Uh-huh.
It's true. And they've also found bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, apparently if you put the camera under the water and point it out, it can't see, it cannot see clothing through the water surface.
Well, you don't want bugs down there.
No.
But yeah, so that was the Final Fantasy XIV European Fan Festival. I think it's on day two right now, or was until, I don't know. It might still be going.
But, well, they're 5 hours ahead over there, so it's probably about to wrap up. So
So if any more big news comes out of that, then I'll definitely include it tomorrow in next week's show.
Yeah.
But is it June yet?
No, not yet.
June.
Yeah, we got a Switch launch. We got E3.
We're asking about E3. You don't have to switch out yet.
Yeah, so we got a lot of stuff to go before all of this happens. So.
Oh God, March is gonna just.
March is gonna. Oh, yeah. Suck.
If April comes around and you see me like out on the street with a little paper cup, just.
Alms,
you know, like donations.
Yeah,
don't know why.
Got Horizon next week. 3 days later is Zelda, and a week later is Nier Automata.
Oh fuck. Shit!
And then the week after that is Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah,
I can bow out of that one because I've still got the original trilogy just kind of sitting on my PS3 doing nothing. I've never touched them, so
I don't really need that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is me we're talking about, so I'm not going to jump into Mass Effect Andromeda and not play the first trilogy.
Hmm. Yeah. Then get on it.
Yeah, you should probably do that at some point.
I've thought about it.
I mean, it's almost spring. Yeah. Since the third comes out, too. Yeah. You know, things happen.
Trails the third, yeah. So.
Damn it, Pat. If I have to go down to Utah and put a gun to your head, you are going to play that damn trilogy.
I have to go up to Utah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I think we could probably cap it off here for the week.
Yep.
As usual, if you want to subscribe to us, you can do so on iTunes, on TuneIn, Google Play, and your favorite podcast aggregator of choice. We're all over the place. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/smashbadsocial. We're there. Also, facebook.com/dayzerooupdate.
YouTube.
YouTube.com/smashbad. That's a thing. And we're also on Twitter. And
we got to use that more.
Yeah, we're really not hard to find. So, with that, I'm Filippo Dinolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Dan Red Victoria.
We'll see you next week.